Please welcome Dorley Brooks.
Thank you. I think I have been coming here for 40 years. No, I'm serious. I remember Nancy Gavrilis. Yeah. Do you remember her, Jimmy?
She was one of my first teachers, I remember, absolutely.
Yeah.
She was about 7 years old and
followed me around. Dizzy Gillespie was from South Carolina. And in his autobiography, he talked a lot about being from the country. And my mother's family is also from South Carolina, and I could really identify with some of those stories. This is called Diz. Diz, believer in spiritism, in roots, you captured me. Seemed so innocent then. Weren't you the youngish guy in Paris photos? White shirt, dark tie. Played the Paris Apollo, the supper clubs, diners fighting. You call that music? And Mez, them boys will never play two notes when 200 will do. Now you don't let me go. Tonight it's a night in Havana with YouTube. You and Castro in costume, your nautical cap, Castro's army fatigues, study your gift, to be or not to bop. Your entourage moves through the airport scenes like dancers tapping clave, leaping snatches of light in a ghost catcher's camera. Baraka found you in dusty recordings, called you high priest royalty, likened bebop an African idiom, the speech of ooh shooby dooby doo, and the bent horn a translating passage. Since we're talking about old times, right? Way back, when the Steelers just had that fourth Super Bowl, you used to see these bumper stickers, one for the thumb. This is called One for the Thumb. The tremble in my favorite Miles prelude calls me back to you. The way your skin shined in the white cotton shirt you wore to the best party in New Orleans, where we cheered the Steelers at our first Super Bowl and gagged on escargot. They draped the town in black and gold for us, and we didn't stop dancing. I still hear shoe-bop, de-bop, I only have eyes for you, that we played again and again, the only light in the room from the on signal of the little wooden 8-track box. I remember cold Sunday mornings. You liked Keith Jarrett's cone concerts and sweetened tea too hot to sip. You would bury yourself in the back bedroom, the heavy drapes drawn tight, blocking the vine of frost against the window. It was the coldest day in 77 when I left you for good, falling up the bleacher steps with only a scraggly rabbit fur jacket to hide me from the wind and rush of bad juju. A part of the MFA program at Carlo is a residency in Ireland. This is called Morning Walk Dublin. Under Westland Row, in garbage and pigeon shit, a man sleeps zipped in a nylon bag, still as a cadaver. 5:30 a.m., buses speed unimpeded on gray streets around Trinity. Corrugated steel blanket storefronts. Gulls cruise, screech into dawn's half light. A young couple passes. Her partner says, "Here, I'll help you," and braces her elbow. She limps, glances at me. In a brightly lit entrance where glass and chrome objects gleam, people lie in city-issued sky blue sleeping bags. On the way back to campus, I note postings on office windows. If you are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless, we can help. If you've seen the documentaries, The Lost Boys of Sudan, or God Grew Tired of Us, then you know there's a connection between Sudan and Pittsburgh in terms of the refugees settling here. Mappings. The flat flip maps fold from a wheeled rack in room 322. Africa faces me, its leathery elephant's ear undulating in a painted by numbers sea. Last night, I heard more news of South Sudan. By turns, a correspondent shouted into a handheld mic, and a network anchor read in monotone, voices like static, like a bad connection streaming through background sounds of a foreign tongue over images skipping from village to camp in cable HD, torched huts smoldering, prints in intricate patterns billowing in the wind from legs of women and men on the move. A young girl looking into the camera could have been posing for Vogue, her face shrouded in cascading indigo. Bangles hung from slender arms of a woman who was old, her skin dark, her eyes defiantly bright. A rail-thin boy in khaki shorts spinning the top of a cooking pot on a stick for sport. A little girl listless on a pallet, her mother batting flies. Past the maps and a sign behind that reads, "No food or drink," my Comp 1 students begin to file in, Starbucks cups in hand, mine on the desk in front. A third will not complete the 15-week course. More than half will not continue to their degrees. I'm sure that Angela, who sits closest to me, will ask once again why business majors are required to take this. Okay, I have one more, this last poem. Back in the day, I used to work at the Homewood Brushton Center of CCAC, and this is called Home. On any given day, minutes from the East Busway, the driver tells me the poor people ride. I stroll up Homewood Avenue. Candy wrappers, bottles, cans along the walkway to the corner of Kelly, where Community College sits. Before the riots in 68, it used to be the 5 and 10, the G.C. Murphys. My daddy took me there, bought me the real ring I squeezed to fit my little finger. The Belmar Theater, the 35-cent matinee, still exist in Weidman's trilogy. I called him on it once. When was it so cheap, I wanted to know. The grandparents' house, 7223 Upland Street, the cyclone fence, monogram storm door, painted steps to the wraparound porch, Sunday meals, biscuits, greens, yams my mother ate, hating her mother-in-law's habit of tasting with the cooking spoon.